Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
LeBron makes his 10th finals appearance tonight in pursuit of his fourth ring, and the Heat are all that remain in his way. The Lakers are favored to win the series and have the two favorites in LeBron and Anthony Davis to win finals MVP. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard with us now. So, Chris, I've got a couple of questions for you. Who wins the series? How many games? And who's your finals MVP?
Well, you guys know that I desire spice, so I would love to see a 7-game series. I'd even settle for 6 where it's tied at 2-2, but come on. With all due respect to Miami, this is a mismatch. Lakers in 5, and I'm maybe being generous with the 5. So Lakers in 5, the only times in NBA history we've seen a team even remotely comparable to this Miami team win the championship was 1979. With Seattle, remember they had Gus Williams,
Dennis Johnson,
Jack Sigma, Downtown Freddie Brown. They beat Washington, right? But both of those teams were number one seeds. So Seattle had done it all year. They had been to the finals the year before. We knew they were a good team. Then 04 Detroit with Chauncey Billups and those guys. And even though none of those guys were superstars, Chauncey was a number 3 pick. Rasheed was a number 4 pick. Rasheed Wallace. Rip Hamilton was a number 7 pick. So these were stars in college that were really expected to have great NBA careers. And then in the other locker room, the Lakers, we know were drama central with Kobe and Shaq. And, you know, Kobe had his issues going on in Colorado. So those were all circumstances that contributed to those losses. None of that is here. Okay, so Miami doesn't have that type of talent, and the Lakers don't have that type of drama. They got the two best players in the series by a mile. They've got more experience by a mile. They're just as motivated as Miami to win it. They're bigger by a mile. So I think Lakers in 5. As far as MVP, look, I think there is a good chance that it's Anthony Davis. He was, you know, in that Denver series early on, he was looking like the MVP of the series until he forgot how to rebound in the last 3 games, and then LeBron obviously poured it on. But I'm going to go with LeBron to win the MVP because I just think he's going to be so motivated to get his 4th ring. It's right there in his grasp. He knows what this means for his legacy. And while, yeah, he may have forgiven Pat Riley and all that, he still remembers that he was told he made the biggest mistake of his career when he left Miami. I'm sure he is going to come out and play tremendous basketball. I think he averages close to a triple-double, if not a triple-double. He may average a triple-double, but I think LeBron ends up being the MVP.
Yeah, Chris, you're right. Rasheed was the 2nd pick of the draft. He was in the draft with Joe Smith, went 1. She went 2. Stackhouse went 3. If you remember back when that draft came out of the ACC because Joe Smith came from Maryland. I want to say 5, Chris, but I've been saying 6, and it's been bringing us good luck, so I'm going to ride with 6. I said they're going to beat the Portland in 6, Houston in 6.
They keep winning in 5, though.
I know, but so I got to keep going with 6. So I don't want to upset the apple cart. And I agree with you. Look, the Heat are a very good team. They're very well coached. They're mentally tough. They're great in crunch time, and a lot of times these games come down to who can execute in crunch situations, 5 minutes, game within 5 points, and the Heat do a very good job of that. But for me, the way AD and the way LeBron is playing, and our KCP played really well, we got Rondo played well the last 3 games. Rondo was game 2 Rondo was outstanding, but Rondo's been really, really good. And so with that being said, I like the Lakers. I really do. I felt at the beginning of the season they were going to beat the Clippers, and I wish we had an opportunity to beat the Clippers.
So
you wouldn't come out here and jump out, the Clippers would have did this, the Clippers would have done that. We could have shut that down, but we won't get that opportunity until next year, maybe, because we'll be right back. We don't know about you guys. But I'm going to take the Lakers in 6. I'm going to say LeBron win finals MVP, but only slightly. I say there's a 45% chance. I'm giving AD a 45% chance of winning it. But I think the storyline and the narrative LeBron James in year 17. Whoo! And even if he doesn't win Finals MVP, Chris, it's not like we can say, man, they carried LeBron to that title. The dude was first team All-NBA unanimously. Right. He finished second in the MVP voting. You don't get carried if you play that well. And you can't carry him because if LeBron doesn't play well, they're not going to win. And I expect him to play exemplary.
Hmm. My turn.
I would add this, Skip, if I might, quickly. If it's close, you know, if both AD and LeBron are exceptional and it's close, LeBron's going to get that nod. We all know that because of the narrative.
Mm. Now it's my turn. The Clippers would have beaten the Lakers. That's the last time I'm going to say that. Or maybe the second to last time
exactly.
I'm going to say that. Chris Broussard, my man Shannon Sharp across the table is giving the Heat two games in a desperate attempt to legitimize LeBron James finals competition because you cannot legitimize the Miami Heat. I love watching the Heat play. I think their intangibles are stronger than the Lakers' intangibles. That's why I love them, because they share the ball and they make clutch shots and they love each other. And it's fun to watch because they play so hard every play. They're just not good enough when the two best players by far on the court belong to the Lakers. I'm sorry, the tallest Heat starter is 6'9" Bam. He's going to have to deal with Dwight and JaVale and not to mention Anthony Davis. And his head's going to be spinning because it's too much firepower. It's too much length. It's too much height. He's going to get in foul trouble. I'm sorry, this isn't, as Chris said, mismatch. This is an epic mismatch. And again, the Heat are relegated because they're so small to trying to play a zone. The ultimate zone buster to me is the point guard for the Lakers named LeBron James.
Yeah.
He will create cracks in that zone. He will power through cracks in that zone. He will get in the lane repeatedly. He'll get Bam in foul trouble. He'll get to the free throw line, and he will get wide open threes for Danny Green and Kuzma and playoff Rondo, who, by the way, might be the third best player on the floor because I don't know what got into him. He's a 32% career three-point shooter, and in the bubble where there's no fans, there's no depth perception, really. You're just kind of shooting into the vast open darkness behind the rim. I don't know. He loves it. He's making 45% of his threes. It's just too much. It's too good. And finally, the motivation is all on the Lakers' side because Chris brought it up, but LeBron still has a quiet little bitter chip on his shoulder. He's not going to acknowledge it publicly, but Pat Riley went after him publicly. Pat Riley's infamous quote is, smiling faces with hidden agendas. He accused LeBron of going traitor on him, of leaving him high and dry and going home to Cleveland. And I'm sure LeBron will be quietly driven by that. And finally, the Lakers are not quietly but openly driven by this one's for Kobe.
Yep.
And it should be for Kobe. We get it. This is destiny. It's like motivation is all Lakers, and LeBron is going to be the MVP. He needs this MVP to say, I'm the first one to do it for three different teams. And I just think it's a done deal.
We don't get it this year. We'll come back and get another one next year.
They should award the MVP tonight pregame. Yes, I'm serious. He's going to be the MVP because Chris is right. The narrative is overpoweringly for LeBron.
Yeah.
He should have won the regular season MVP. Makeup call, this one.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, and the difference, too, remember with Miami, they were able, obviously, to shut Giannis down and wall off the paint. Giannis isn't as good of a driver as LeBron.
No.
You know, he's a straight-line driver. No. He doesn't get to the hole. Like, they're not going to be able to stop LeBron, I don't see, from getting to the rim. And they don't have the length. You mentioned this, Skip. Bam Adebayo is a great rim protector for a 6'9 guy, but he's 6'9. They don't have a bunch of 7-footers that are going to challenge LeBron at the rim. So, look, again, I'd love to see a great competitive series, but this has Lakers written all over it.
And if you look at the situation is reversed. You mentioned the Pistons, If I'm not mistaken, the Pistons had Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Eldon Campbell was also on that team that they could throw at Shaq. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now they have AD, they got JaVale, and they got Dwight Howard that they could throw at Bam. Well, in actuality, the Heat only have one player that can they can put on all those bigs.
But to Chris's point, Shaq and Kobe were at war by that point.
It's my team. It's your team. It's my team.
And LeBron and AD are like brothers.
Yeah, we're stepbrothers.
Yep. So, Chris, final quick thought, final X factor. I'm going Heat in five just because I'm going to give them one game just because I love watching them. But there's one X factor here, and it's Andre Iguodala. The problem is the X factor is now 36 years of age. He's about 1 year older than LeBron. But very quietly, Iggy has gone to six straight finals. Is that good? That's pretty good, right? And Iggy, over his career, has done, I dare say, the best job anybody has done consistently on LeBron. You can throw all those numbers at me because LeBron still has his way. But Iggy has held him to 44% shooting in the playoffs versus his usual 51%.
Yeah.
Okay? But the problem is Iggy doesn't even start for them. Is he going to play 30 minutes on LeBron?
And then if you play that zone, how much is Iggy actually going
to
be on him?
Okay, well, you'd have to box and one.
Yeah.
That's what you'd have to do.
But the difference is,
I think you'd have to look, if you're looking for reasons that the Heat might win, you can say, okay, can Bam Adebayo make it tough on AD? He can guard AD probably as well as you can guard him, right? And then Jimmy Butler, Iguodala, and Jay Crowder, that's a trio to throw at LeBron. We know they're not going to stop him, but they could probably do as well as anybody in today's NBA on him. So I think you're hoping for that if you're a Heat fan. And Iguodala told me something when he left Denver and first went to Golden State. That summer, he said, look, I'm a winner. He wasn't bragging, but he just said, look, everywhere I go, I win. And Philadelphia, remember they took the big three Celtics to seven games in the playoffs. Denver won, I think, 57 games the year he was there. And then Golden State. And now, I mean, he goes to Miami and they somehow get to the finals. Iggy is right. He is a winner. But he's going to lose this series. I'll tell you that.
And plus, the thing is that what Giannis didn't have an AD. As great as Boston young talent is, they don't have an AD. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, that's not LeBron and AD. That's a whole different animal. And the question is, if the Lakers go big and start Dwight Howard, are you going to put Jay Crowder on Dwight Howard and have Dwight Howard just go stand in the front of the rim? Or how are you going to do this? Are you going to put Bam? Or are you going to put Jay Crowder on AD? But they got the work cut out for them. But I'm going to feel real good. I don't know what's going to happen. But I suggest you tune in tomorrow. If you're not going on the show, Chris, I suggest you tune in.
Why would that be?
They don't tell it how I'm liable to come out here.
Well, this is no accomplishment. This is no achievement.
Why can't not do that?
This is a cakewalk.
See, there you go. He tried to minimize Goat James has been able to do.
Telling the truth. Chris is telling the truth.
Well, then why didn't Clippers get that cakewalk?
A ring is a ring. You guys know I picked the Clippers. I was right there with you, Skip, but I can't blame the Lakers because the Clippers didn't get it done.
Mm. Yeah.
That's their fault.
The Clippers had an opportunity to eat the same piece of cake we had. They don't like cake.
Mm. All right. Shannon, you're going to be on a different level over the next couple of days. I need to mentally prepare for it.
No mercy.
Well, it's been a unique season for the NBA, with the end of the season and entirety of the playoffs being played in the Orlando bubble. LeBron said reaching the finals under these circumstances has been, quote, the most challenging thing I've ever done. However, Skip has made the case repeatedly that this has become LeBron's easiest path to a ring. Oh, all right. Chris Broussard is still with us. Chris, I ask you, toughest or easiest?
Well, whenever I'm brought in to argue LeBron versus Skip, I always got to go with LeBron. So I'm going to say toughest just because of the bubble. Look, first of all, he had to work, and that's all the NBA players did. But you have 4 months off. At 35 years of age, you can say that gave him the rest he needed to play really well, but it also could have made an older player rusty. And so that is a factor. I do believe it was harder for LeBron at 35 to come back and be in a rhythm or get in a rhythm than for a 25-year-old or 27-year-old or 23-year-old on some of these other teams or even his own teammates. Then you're working out for 4 months with no light at the end of the tunnel. You don't know if you're coming back to play. You're hoping that you can finish the season, but you're not sure. So that's a mental challenge. We all know LeBron's a family guy. You're there. And again, I know all the players are like that. But it affects different people different ways. And I think LeBron wanting to be with his family, having to be away from them for 2 months, I think that's part of what he's talking about, how it was so tough. And he's been saying that from day one. And then, guys, we saw other players talk about it. Giannis saying, look, if there's an asterisk by this championship, it should be because it's the toughest, because this is a unique situation. We all saw what Paul George said and how it literally depressed him and took away from his game. And he had mental challenges because of it. So all of that, not to mention the social justice stuff. We know how important that is to LeBron. We know he's the face of social justice for not just the NBA, but really along with Colin Kaepernick, probably for all of sports. He's got his more than a vote. He's been giving, you know, talking about this every few days, it seems. Then you had the boycott, and he's frustrated because there's no plan. So he has to come up with a plan, or he does come up with a plan to get the owners to open up the arena. So he's certainly not talking about basketball, and I'm sure that's where you go at him, Skip, because we can name five teams that he had to beat in his past that are better than Denver and Portland and this Miami team. But from an overall standpoint, that's what he was talking about. And I do think it was a challenge that was tough for him, and it'll be to his credit when he gets through it.
I agree with you, Chris, and for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned, because we've never seen anything like this. The Lakers started training camp on September 28th of 2019. That's a year ago. And as you mentioned, yes, okay, the season got interrupted, but there was no guarantee that the season was going to continue. So he's working out, and he's like, for what? And you fight all season. The reason why this is because they thought they were going to face the Clippers also. So you fight tooth and nail. The one thing that you want, no matter the round, as long as they get a, if it goes seven games, I want that in Staples. That went away. And so now you get teams like the Heat that no one envisioned, as Skip mentioned earlier in the show. They were 75-1 to win the NBA Finals. We are 75-1. That's unheard of. And here they are because of the circumstances. You look at also the mental strain that being in the bubble has taken place. It gobbled the Clippers up. Oh. It ate them up. We got guys waiting till the very last minute to come. We get a guy that all of a sudden he wanted to make a wings run. Old lemon pepper, got them hot lemon pepper, because they good. They fine now. I ain't gonna lie to you. He had to go get those. Trez had to deal with his situation with his grandmother. And I'm sure that took a strain on him. But it gobbles some teams up. It gobbles some players up. But LeBron James and the Lakers have stayed true to form. They've been, I believe they've been one of the two, I think them and the Heat, have been one of the closest teams here. And you've seen that on the floor. So, Skip, him being the face of the league, dealing with all this, what happened in Kenosha, what's going on with the Breonna Taylor situation, and having to deal with that, and having to deal with that in a confined area and not being able to go. Think about what people say, how they've opened up, like, I'm just going. I'm leaving whenever I want to. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what city and state officials say. I'm leaving. He didn't have that luxury. He said, you know what? I've been here for 3 months. I'm going to stay here for as long as it takes to accomplish the mission. If he were to pull this off, this would be his, from a mental, maybe not physically, but from a mental, and Skip Bayless tells me the thing that he loves most about his athletes is mental toughness. Mm. Now all of a sudden he don't like that. He like physical toughness.
Oh, I get it. So that was a nice try by Chris Broussard, and an even nicer try by Shannon Sharpe. Both are very wrong. This is by far and away LeBron James' easiest path to a ring. And let me start with some quotes that I read this morning in USA Today from Scottie Pippen. They were uttered originally to Business Insider.
Oh, my goodness.
And here they are. Scottie Pippen says,
when it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back. To make it all happen, my happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this. Crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Of the bubble. It's not NBA basketball. It's not the hard grind. It's not the travel. It's not the fans. It's not the distractions. You get to sleep in the same bed every night. You don't have to go get on a plane. You don't have a 50-minute or hour bus ride back and forth to the arena. You can walk to the arena if you so choose. And then let's look at the past, shall we? LeBron draws 35-39 Portland in round one. I said it would be a sweep, and it should have been a sweep because in game one, LeBron's got the ball in his hand with a 6-point lead, 7 minutes left, and they give up a 19-6 run to that team. It was shameful. And then they did what they should have done, and they said, boom, boom, boom. Dame got hurt. It was even worse than I thought it was going to be, which led to the Rockets. And I said, the Rockets will cause the Lakers some problems. And I predicted that the Rockets would win game one. And they did decisively, Mr. Sharp, by 15 points. And then it's tied one all. And Mike D'Antoni in the off day raves about Daniel House's evolution as a player. He said he's the most improved player in the league. This is the day after game two. And he said he's become one of the better players in the league. And he's talking about two-way, 3-and-D. And right on schedule, Daniel House gets busted and sent home for a quarantine violation. Mm-hmm. And psychologically, the Houston Rockets, they went right home with him, and they were nothing the rest of the way, which led to the Clippers. And I don't even need to tell you what happened. The Clippers, let's just say this, the Lakers dodged the biggest bullet they ever have dodged because they would have lost to the Clippers. Way to go, congratulations. The basketball god said, let there not be Clippers in your path, which leads to 75-1 preseason odds for the Miami Heat to win the championship. Those are the worst preseason odds of any NBA finalist in the last 30 years. And LeBron, as Chris correctly pointed out, astutely pointed out, this is an epic mismatch. That's easy, 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 easy. Congratulations. Crown him again. 4th ring.
Well, David and Goliath was an epic mismatch, and we saw what happened.
Okay.
But that's not the
here. Are you predicting that?
No,
you predicting this is David?
But Chris, if you remember, also in game one, Dame Lillard hit a shot and went dumb. He started dancing. Russell Westbrook in game one got an and one, started dancing. Jamal Murray hits a rainbow three on AD and started dancing. And tell the people at home, they never won another game after that. Mm. So keep talking. Mm. But I want one thing before you go, Chris. Kawhi Leonard had the ball in his hands, up 16, 19, and 12. Why couldn't he finish that? Because Kip Bayless keep telling me LeBron James had the ball in his hand with a 5-point lead against Portland. 6-point lead against Portland, and he couldn't finish. One guy had the ball in his hands up 19, up 16, up 12 against little old Denver. Now, Denver's little old Denver when the Lakers beat them. But now all of a sudden, they wasn't little old Denver. They was God, they was magic. They was larger than life, Denver, when they took your bums or Clippers out in 7, Skip. Y'all were up 3-1. And it cost Doc his job. Doc lost his job because Kawhi gagged. Paul George been gagging. Almost his whole. Remember what he did in OKC against Utah? Remember what he did? You remember what he did in Indiana his last year against LeBron?
He passed
the ball to C.J. Miles. And said, C.J. got to give me that ball back. Nah, stop passing it. That's why he didn't go to the Lakers. Everybody talking about he didn't want to play with LeBron. He, Paul George, doesn't want that pressure. He wants to be complimentary. He wants to be a second-tier star. But he knows if you gag a line on Broadway versus gagging a line at the YMCA is totally different. He's getting unscathed in this. But Paul George laid an egg, Chris, and that's why they're not there. My guy gonna win the title.
Like I said, I can't hold it against the Lakers that the Clippers didn't hold up their end of the bargain and get there in the Western Conference Finals. But let's look. Look, Damian Lillard, I think, is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
That's one Hall of Famer LeBron had to take out. Houston, two MVPs. Two MVPs, and we know two certain Hall of Famers. Now, Skip, if I'm not, did you pick, didn't you say that would go seven?
No, I said
six. Did you pick that as a seven-game series?
Yeah, six.
Six, okay. But some people thought it'd be a tough series just because the Lakers, you know, and I can't give Daniel House that much credit. I'm sorry, I know he's a nice little role player, but if your hopes and dreams were resting on Daniel House, something's wrong, all right?
So he's in the house.
He went through two MVPs, two Hall of Famers. Jokic is going to be a Hall of Famer. I think I'm confident in saying that, unless he gets hurt. And who knows what Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr. will become. But I'm just saying, this will be, the Heat is the team that doesn't have the talent that some of these other teams in the West have. I know they play hard. And I think they're a legitimate team. But basketball-wise, I get what you're saying, Skip. I mean, come on. He's been through the bad boy, you know, bad boys part two in the 07.
The big three Celtics.
He's been through the big three in Boston. He's been through Golden State. 3-1 down, 73 wins. So I get all that. From a basketball standpoint, this is not the hardest matchup. But with all going on in the bubble and in the world, I think that's kind of what he's talking about.
Hey, Chris, I know a guy that couldn't stay on in his hotel room on a nightly basis because he was taking trips down to Atlantic City. So how the hell are he going to be able to stay in a bubble when he couldn't stay in his hotel room without going to the casino? Because he'd have been in quarantine. He wouldn't have made it.
There was no bubble.
I know. That's my point. He couldn't even stay in his hotel room. So how the hell are he going to stay in the bubble?
And what happened in the finals?
And what happened in the finals?
What happened in the finals? Six times he won it with six MVPs.
We about to see.
It's over.
We about to see. We about to see. He about to do this thing three times in three different ways.
I told you, that's all you want. Done deal. Crown him.
No, it's not. It's too soon. We can't crown him yet. Chris, we appreciate it. This is going to be a wild ride the next couple days. I'm ready for it.
No mercy.
Start Saturday strong as senior quarterback Sam Ellinger leads the ninth-ranked Texas Longhorns against TCU. It all starts with the Big Noon kickoff pregame show at 10 a.m. Eastern, all part of Big Noon Saturday on Fox and the Fox Sports app. While LeBron is just the fourth player to reach 10 NBA Finals, a win would only make him 4-6 overall in those appearances. LeBron was always criticized for having a cakewalk in the East, but has always faced today's elite talent in the finals. And remember, Michael Jordan only reached the final six times, but was a perfect 6-0 in those series and faced his share of Hall of Famers along the way. So, Shannon, who has had the tougher playoff competition, LeBron or MJ?
LeBron is not even close. It's not even close.
Really?
And Skip, I'm going to blow you out the water with this one. I've been waiting 4 years to get this one.
Oh, boy.
Okay. LeBron has lost in the finals to two teams that had four Hall of Famers. He lost to the Spurs. The Spurs had Tim Duncan, Manu, Tony Parker, Kawhi. We all agree that they're going to the Hall of Fame. Am I correct? Okay, thank you very much.
Time out. Almost everybody goes to the Hall of Fame.
Hold on, basketball, seriously. Okay.
And what do you call the Spurs? Broccoli. You had little to no respect for them.
I don't like their style of play. I just love that they are very good players. I understand that. Okay. The Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry, KD, Klay, Draymond. I feel comfortable in saying all four of those guys are going to the Basketball Hall of Fame. And when you look at it, Skip, with the exception of Magic Johnson is the only guy that's comparable when it's all said and done. I mean, so who other than Magic, when he's done that, the Jordan beat in the finals, that will be better than KD, that will be better than Tim Duncan, that would be better than Steph Curry. Because those are three guys that beat LeBron. Now, he beat Magic Johnson, but Magic was 31.
Wow.
That's ancient. Hold on. But you do realize Magic had gone to 9 finals in 12 years. Mm. So can you imagine the wars that he had gone through with the Bad Boy Pistons and the Big Three and the Big Celtics?
Whew, okay. LeBron's 35.
I'm just saying, Skip. Just a second. Okay, if you look at, the Knicks was so tough. He had to battle the Knicks. The Knicks had one Hall of Famer. Mm. He's having to battle the Big Three Celtics. Is Paul Pierce going to the Hall of Fame? Is Kevin Garnett going to the Hall of Fame? Is Ray Allen going to the Hall of Fame? A simple no or a simple yes. Rajon Rondo has an outside chance. He gets this title, he's going to be in contention. That's what he had to go through. Okay, then you say, whoa, the Heat. Man, he had to battle those tough Heat, the Pat Riley Heat. One Hall of Famer, Lonzo Mourning. That's what he had to go through. Who else did he have to go through? Oh, gotcha. The Indiana Pacers. Mm. Man, the Pacers, the Davis boys, Reggie Miller and Chris Mullin. Mm-hmm. Really, Skip, when you look at this and you look at LeBron's body of work, now, had Jordan beat the Big Three Celtics, whoo, Skip, you got me. Mm. If he had beat the early Celtics with Moses Malone, Dr. J, Bobby Jones, Caldwell, Skip, you got me. I got nothing for you. Skip, he couldn't get past the Bucks with Sidney Moncrief. One Hall of Famer took him out. Mm. He started beating the big, well, never beat the Big Three Celtics. He started getting past the Bad Boy Pistons, the original, once they got old. Mm. You know that and I know that. So when you boil it down and you look at what LeBron has faced in the finals and you look at what he's had to face to get there, it's not even close. You look at the guys that he's beat. He beat Portland. Portland had one Hall of Famer. He beat the Supersonics with one Hall of Famer. LeBron James has never faced a team with at least two. Mm. Even when he lost to the Mavericks, Dirk and Jason Kidd in the Hall of Fame, normally it's anywhere between two and four. Michael beating guys with one Hall of Famer, Clyde Drexler in Portland, one in Supersonic with Gary Payton. Mm. Come on, Skip. This is not even close. My guys had the tougher path. Mm. Four Hall of Famers in their prime. And that's what he doing.
My turn.
No further questions.
1991, Michael Jordan's first path to a ring just might have been the toughest path in the history of the NBA because it started with Patrick Ewing's Knicks. And this was a different era. This is football, basketball. And these guys were loaded with tough football-style basketball players. Patrick, Mark Jackson, Charles Oakley, John Starks. It is tough. You're going to have to fist fight your way through that team. And that was just the first round. Then it was Charles Barkley's Sixers in the second round. Is Charles any good?
One Hall of Famer. Okay.
Then the Bad Boy Pistons, who had just put Michael through the ringer, but he had gone to the weight room finally, thanks to the great Tim Grover. And he said, okay, now I know how to do this now. They've got their Jordan rules. They're going to try to knock me on my butt every time, but I'm going to beat them at their own game. I'm going to be even more physical than they are. And he swept a team featuring Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Bill Laimbeer, and Dennis Rodman. He swept them in the conference finals, which led to, is this any good? Is this a challenge? Magic Johnson, who I rank the second greatest player of all time.
Yes.
Magic Johnson, James Worthy, Byron Scott, and Sam Perkins, not to mention Vlade, who was an underrated center because he was so cagey and wily and such a shrewd operator. It wasn't quite Kareem, but they were still potent and they were still lethal. And he blew through all of them. They lost game one at home to those Lakers. Mm-hmm. And then they went boom, 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 four in a row. it's as rocky and tough a road as anybody has ever faced. And that was just for the first ring. And they had to fight through those same nicks four different times. Patrick Ewing, they would add pieces, more football, basketball players like Anthony Mason. And he had to fight through them in the second round the next time in 92, then in the conference finals in 93. And it's Ewing, Anthony Mason, Charles Oakley, Doc Rivers was on that team. You want to talk about mentally and physically tough? To get to the championship, I told you, the East was the beast all through Jordan's days. The hard part was just getting through the East and getting to the finals. Then I'll give you some of the finals because the second finals against Clyde Drexler, he did finish second in MVP voting to Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And he did have Terry Porter, who was a two-time All-Star, who was pretty good. But I'll give you that one. For Michael, that was pretty. It was 4-2. They did win a couple of games. But then 93, this was no piece of cake in the finals because this was the Phoenix Suns who had dominated the Western Conference that year. And it was, guess who the MVP was in 1993? Can you help me with this? How about Charles Barkley was the MVP? Mm-hmm. So you're facing him on the Phoenix Suns along with a four-time All-Star in Tom Chambers, a three-time All-Star in Kevin Johnson. I don't even know if he's in the Hall of Fame, but he should be. But he, and how about another three-time All-Star and Thunder Dan Marley, and Kurt Rambis was doing windows for that team, doing all the dirty work. That was a basketball team. That was not easy. And then they had to vanquish once more the Ewing team once more in 1996 when he came back the second time. But look who they had to get through. Tim Hardaway and Alonzo Mourning. Why isn't Tim Hardaway in the Hall of Fame? I don't know, because he's a Hall of Famer to me. Second round was Ewing and company, the football team. The third round, is this any good? They swept this team. Shaq, Penny, and Ho Grant. Is that any good? Yeah. That's firepower, man. They swept them. That team went 60-22 in the regular season, and Jordan just took them out in four games, which led to probably the easiest round of all, which was Gary Payton and company, Sean Kemp and company in the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. That team went 64-18 in the Western Conference that year. That's how good that team was. Mm-hmm. So 1997, you know what happened. They have to keep running through the Miami Heat, which just got better and better because they kept adding more players. But they got to the finals, and twice in a row, they had to beat Karl Malone. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
I'd say he is.
I got hit, Miss Stockton.
He is the second all-time leading scorer in the league. He still scored more points than LeBron has so far. Is that any good?
Yes.
How about John Stockton? He is still the all-time assist leader, right? He was a 10-time All-Star. He led the league in steals twice. He was a dominating point guard on both ends of the floor.
Yes.
So you had to overcome Malone and Stockton. And trust me, I was there. It was not easy. And that was back-to-back years. And then you mentioned that conference final in 1998. Who was that team coached by the way? Larry Joe Bird. In his first year of coaching, who was the coach of the year that year? It was Larry Joe Bird, because he was outstanding. And I was there for all seven of those games. And trust me, it was a flat out basketball war. It was Reggie Miller. It was Chris Mullin. It was Rick Smits, who was like 7 foot two. And it was the Davis brothers, if you will, quote unquote, and Antonio and Dale. And Mark Jackson playing a lot of point guard for that team, along with Travis Best. That was a basketball team that could play basketball or football, however you wanted to play it. And it went to the last drop in Game 7 at the United Center. And finally, Batman took over once again. He saw the light in the sky, and he said, I got you.
This Jordan beat Magic, Mailman, Barkley, Drexler, Payton. Steph Curry, KD, Tim Duncan, Kawhi Leonard. Of those, let me ask you a question. Other than Magic, who's going in front of KD? Who's going in front of Tim Duncan? Who's going in front of Steph Curry of Mailman, Barkley, Drexler, and Gary Payton?
Okay, you got me on Kevin Durant because he's just better than LeBron James. He's the best player on the planet. Tim, once he went to Golden State, it was over for your guy.
Let me ask you
because your guy's not as good.
Who?
Your guy in back-to-back game threes in his palace.
Skip.
He could not cope with Kevin Durant.
Okay, Kevin Durant won the finals MVP even though LeBron James in that game three had 42-12-9. I want to know what player of the guys that he beat, Mailman, Barkley, Drexler, Payton, better than Tim Duncan?
Well, okay, but I named you about 50 guys who were right in the same ballpark.
Don't, Yep. And who in the ballpark is Tim Duncan other than Magic?
Look at your East. It's the biggest cakewalk in LeBron's day, especially once he joined the Heat.
What?
You got George Paul's Pacers three times. So you got DeMar DeRozan's baby dinosaurs three times. You got to take them out.
But not with the
cakewalk.
Heat. Not with the Heat.
It's a cakewalk.
Not with the Heat.
I'm sorry.
Not with the Heat.
It's easy.
Not with the Heat.
It's easy.
Not with the Heat.
Turning point of LeBron's career came in 2015 before they had Kevin Durant in Oakland. And the Golden State Warriors weren't sure who they were yet.
Okay.
Because Steph always came up a little smaller than he was in the playoffs. And what happened in games 1, 2, and 3? LeBron averaged 41, 12, and 8. I've never seen it. I told you. It was the greatest three-game stretch of LeBron's career.
Yeah.
And game 4, you're up 2-1 in your house. And what happened? LeBron
they
came
lost.
Up small.
They lost.
He shot 7 of 22 from the field, and he went 1 of 4 from 3 and 5 of 10 from the free throw line. And Iggy took him and basically took him out.
Okay, how about this here?
Okay, that would have been the moment. You could have entered the MJ conversation night.
We're going to pass this
If you beat Golden State, if you had them down, and again, you had lost Kevin Love before the finals started, and you lost Kyrie in overtime of game 1, that would be an achievement. But instead, you once again lost game 4, 5, and 6, just as you had against Boston and Dallas in the final.
Okay, skip.
4, 5, and 6.
I'm going to give you an opportunity. Okay, I'm going to say you got Magic, Mailman, Barkley, Drexler, and Payton. And I'm going to take Steph Curry, KD, Tim Duncan, Kawhi, and Klay Thompson. Who you think win that game?
Boy, those other guys are tough. Yep.
I just want to know one thing, because that's what LeBron is going up against. Steph Curry, KD, Tim Duncan, everybody, he's universally regarded as the greatest power forward ever.
He got wiped out by all of them.
Thank you.
He got wiped out.
Why?
He kept getting, what did he get to, 8 in a row? Because the East was the least. You're not getting it. Jordan had to fight through the East. LeBron cakewalked.
He fighting through the East.
Case closed.
He fighting through the East with the Knicks, one Hall of Famer. He fighting through the Heat, one Hall of Famer.
I showed you. It was different.
No, you said, think about it. If everybody
Shannon,
gets,
you can, lost can, it again.
Think about this here.
It's
you
okay.
said everybody gets into the Basketball Hall of Fame, yet only one Heat player, only one Knicks player.
Does he not belong in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Yep.
Sure, but he's not there. Until he gets there, you have a more compelling argument. Skip, my guy had the toughest role. My guy had the toughest role.
He's 3-6 in the finals.
Had the toughest role.
Game over. My guy's 6-0.
Internet, y'all let me know what y'all think.
Oh, yeah.
Let me know what y'all think. We're going to put that thing together.
Yep.
Steph, KD, Duncan, Kawhi, Klay Thompson versus Magic, Mailman, Barkley, Drexler.
No mercy.
Speaking of game 1 tonight, we're just about 9 hours away from Lakers Heat tipping off the NBA Finals. And we're going to jump right into that one. Shannon, what is the score tonight and how many will LeBron and AD have?
I'm going to say the Lakers win by 8. I'm going to say they've been getting around 114, 115, so I'm going to say they score 116 to 108. When they combine for 60, they're 19-1. That's the number they need to try to reach, and I don't care who gets it. Is it 35-25, 33-27? It doesn't matter. I expect the Lakers to come out, focus, understand the task at hand, get the job done tonight by 8.
You're a little low on that. This will be Lakers big. I got Lakers 115 to 100.
I don't trust you.
I got LeBron triple-double. By the way, I got Miami shooting 5 of 27 from 3 because the rim's going to look real small tonight. I got LeBron 32, 12, and 12, and AD will chip in with 28. This is when the parade starts tonight. Be there.
For my guy?
Yep.
Yeah, you really don't want me to win the title. You don't want us to win the title. I know
it's
deep
over.
Down you don't want that to happen because so many people picked the Clippers and they just, the Clippers got this. They got it.
The
they
Clippers
got
had this.
No, they didn't.
Yep.
They had an opportunity.
Nope.
They just would like have, we had.
They would have beaten the Lakers. They were looking ahead to the Lakers, so it's now yours. The world belongs to you.
The one thing that we could do, we could survive in the fishbowl. Mm. You guys cracked under the pressure in that circumstance. Mm. That's why we got the king.
Congratulations.
I'll
trust game
you.
Game 1, enjoy. Guys, we're going to be back with all reactions tomorrow, same time. Okay, guys.